What's up, y'all? Welcome to the Me and He podcast with your host, Araya Sunshine. That's me. I honestly don't even care which name y'all call me. They're both government. I talked about all of that stuff in the trailer, so you can go watch if you want. If not, girl, it's okay. I promise. It's fine. Also, if you hear any audio stuff, I truly am so sorry. Like, seriously sorry. Especially if you have my headphones. Like, I'm for real. So sorry if you hear something, so forgive me in advance. But all right, this is the first episode, which I'm super excited about, and this episode is titled To Cultivate and To Keep. And so my intro question, just to kind of start us off, is a hot dog a sandwich? Now for me, I'm gonna say no, because I don't hold a sandwich the same way that I hold a hot dog. But again, let me know your thoughts. Let me know your comments, you know, all that stuff. And to those people who are egregious enough to say that a hot dog is a sandwich, please don't eat one around me. Thank you, management. No, I'm just playing. All right, y'all. Actually, get into this. I'm just going to say a prayer and then we can get going. All right, dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the viewers, God. Thank you for everyone who's listening to me, Lord. I pray for humility as I speak, as I walk, and as I talk. And I just pray over everyone who's taking time to listen to me, whether they click on and then click off, just whatever the case is. I pray that in their lives that there is personal work being done and not just them listening to me. In your name, I pray and thank you. Amen. I'm sorry, my headphones just said power off. I already powered them off. Side note, they tried to interrupt my prayer. I do have written notes, so that is what I will be looking at. But all right, so starting off, I named this episode To Cultivate and To Keep because I am going to be talking about the fruits of the Spirit and a garden and seeds and things like that. So I just felt like it was appropriate to name this To Cultivate and To Keep after Genesis chapter 2, verse 15. I'm going to be reading AMP, but whatever version floats your boat is your business, baby. I'm not jumping through the screen and fighting you because you read KJV. It's not that serious. Okay, so it says, so the Lord God took the man, this is Adam, he had made and settled him in the Garden of Eden to cultivate and to keep it. And so that's where I got the name of the podcast from, Genesis 2 and 15. And so just starting off, I feel like we kind of know this, especially if you're not from the South. Not all of us are farmers. So of course, no, we are not required to actually manually cultivate and keep a garden. Like if you go outside, you are not going to find an apple tree outside of my place. I'm not a farmer. So that's not what the verse is talking about. It's talking about us being required to nurture our spiritual garden at all times, just as you would a physical garden. Because farmers know if you don't get out there and till that land, if you don't plant those seeds, when harvest time comes, you and your family will be eating air for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And it's the same thing with our spiritual gardens. This garden requires water that does not run out. This garden that I'm talking about, the spiritual garden, it requires soil that stays fertile because its seed is everlasting. Okay, this is not the type of case with your spiritual garden. You don't just plant a seed, it becomes apple and somebody eats it. No, the spiritual garden has seeds that are everlasting. They abide forever during all seasons of life. This is God the Father, this is God the Son, and this is God the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is actually going to be the highlight of the show today as I'm getting into Galatians chapter 5. So the first thing that you're going to need in order to cultivate and keep your spiritual garden is habits. Yes, we're already starting off with some work. So I said we're not actual farmers, but I guess technically we're going to have to be since we're building up some habits. So Galatians chapter 5 verse 16 says, but I say walk habitually. And the root word of habitually is habit in the Holy Spirit. Seek him. Him is always going to either be one of the three Trinity or all three. The Trinity is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And be responsive to his guidance. And if you're like, okay, well, how does God guide us? In his Bible, it's the word of God. This is his choice of communicating with us in a written way. And then God can also speak to us verbally, but my focus is start off with the Bible. And then you will certainly not carry out the desire of the sinful nature, because we all have sinful desires, which responds impulsively without regard for God and without regard for his precepts. So these habits, they're both spiritual and tangible. So some spiritual habits that you're going to need in order to cultivate your garden. Sorry, I didn't explain what cultivate means. Cultivate just means to keep, to steward, to watch over, which is why I said to cultivate and to keep in the episode title. But you need spiritual practices like fasting. You can check out Isaiah 58 for that. Reading and meditating on the word of God. That's somewhere else in Isaiah as well. So Isaiah is actually a big one. And I have Isaiah tattered on my neck as well. So is somebody named Isaiah watching this? No, I'm just laying it. But seriously, that's a lot of Isaiahs for one sitting. It includes praying. That's 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Pray without ceasing. And if you're like, well, I don't know where to start with prayer. Prayer is just communication between you and God. Just like you would need communication between you and your parents, you and your spouse, you and your boss, you and your peers, you and your coworkers, you and the people on your sports team. You need that communication with God at all times, or else you will not have a clue in the world what's going on. You'll just be walking around like a zombie, just doing stuff just to do it. This also includes repenting. That's a not so fun part, but it's a necessary part, okay? Definitely necessary. Repenting is, it's ugly at times. I talked about in the trailer that I had to repent before I started this podcast because I wanted everyone to like my podcast. I wanted to have so many views and followers. And while people can argue that that's a natural desire to have, that doesn't mean that it's a godly desire to have. And I had to really sit and be like, ooh, your girl messed up big time. So don't feel ashamed. There's no condemnation in Christ. That's biblical too. Repenting is something that all of us have to do. Think of it as spiritual maintenance with your relationship with God. Like how you have to groom dogs and how you have maintenances as women, maybe getting waxes, your lashes done, your nails. I don't know what y'all like to do. It's your cup of tea. Please don't argue with me over no maintenance routine, baby. It's not that deep. I promise. But just like how you have to do that, you have to do the same thing in your relationship with Christ. It's upkeep. You should never give your life to Christ, and then by the time you die, it was the exact same. Like, you didn't change any routines, any habits. You didn't change any attitudes about yourself. That is, something wasn't right. Something was not right if that's the case. And then another spiritual habit in order to cultivate and keep your garden is submitting to God. That's a hard one. That is very hard. It can definitely be hard if you're a man, because men are called to lead, but it can also just be hard as a woman in any background. Like, for example, growing up, I kind of felt like I had to be more masculine and things like that because I had to take lead with a lot of stuff. And so it was very hard for me when I surrendered my life to God at 14. It was hard for me to be like, you telling me I have to submit to someone that I can't even see? I thought it was a joke. I said, baby, you got the wrong one. So I promise you, I understand these things are hard. They're not easy, but they're just things that you can ponder on at the very least. Another spiritual practice you can have is leading. Leading will help you cultivate your spiritual garden. For example, if you do know any farmers, that farmer didn't just pop out the womb talking about where are my seeds and where is my hoe at. He didn't know how to just do a garden overnight. Somebody had to teach him. Somebody was a leader and they led him in order to do that. We are called to imitate Christ, and Christ was a leader on this earth. We are called to lead as well. That does not mean just because you just learned a skill or a trade in Christ, number one, that you should be profiting off of it, or number two, that you should be teaching others immediately, because maybe that's not your spiritual gift. But again, all of these questions and wonders and concerns can be answered by going straight to the Bible, building intimacy with God by talking to him in prayer, doing these tips that I said with building spiritual habits and all of that stuff. When in doubt, always go back to the Bible. Always go back to God. Okay? It helps to have peers and communities and podcasts and even things like that. But if you're not making it a habit to go to God first, you are going to create a lot of idols in your life, which again, I'm saying all this stuff from experience. I promise I'm not trying to be harsh with you. That list is some serious. All right. Some tangible practices is exercise, taking care of your body. The Holy Spirit dwells in us. It's a temple, so we got to take care of it. This includes journaling. I love journaling. If you don't like journaling, that's okay. You don't have to do that. This includes kind acts, kind words. That's in Ephesians, just talking about being kind. And also in the book of James, when it talks about how can you praise God with the same tongue that you curse someone else. It gets into that. And just kind words edify people. It lifts them up. Think about like when you get confidence. Confidence? Sorry, y'all. Think about when you get compliments. It feels nice. It's edifying. It builds you up. It feels good. So do that to somebody else. Don't try to flirt your way, though. If you're not supposed to be dating, that's not what I'm telling you. Don't take that and run with it. That's not what I said. It also includes emotional things as well with these habits, with processing, like taking time to just really sit and think, having mentors, and then maybe later mentoring someone else, having counselors, taking medicine if you need to take medicine. This includes over-the-counters. If you're sick, allow your body to rest and heal. It's okay. But this also includes prescription medication. Jesus is a healer 2,000%. But he also put doctors in their rightful positions. So maybe think twice before you automatically tell your doctor, no, I'm not taking that medication. Jesus can and will heal, yes. But in the Bible, it says faith without works is dead. So do what you need to do as well to keep yourself healthy. Healthy. Y'all, these braces is tearing me up. And I have sores in my mouth, so it's very difficult for me to talk. Bear with your girl. Okay. These habits also include not just following a path of asceticism. Asceticism is where you go down the rabbit hole of more performance with God than intimacy. And it's a dangerous path to be on. I've been down that path and it's not pretty. It definitely looks good to the eye, but spiritually you will be very broken on the inside. But just remember that God is a God of structure. So it is good to follow certain principles at times, like the Ten Commandments and the fruits of the Spirit. But if you are using that solely as a means to get into heaven instead of, oh, this is just what's required of me as a Christian, you got to check that at the door. You have to humble yourself. Also, I definitely recommend you doing your research, specifically if you're in college. Maybe you can use something called the Clifton Strengths Test to really just see like where your strong suits are, or just really take some time to meditate between you and God and see like what are the best areas for you. Like me, for example, I'm really strong in context. I'm really strong in discipline. This is what the test says. It's not sponsoring anything, but these are just things that helped me. I'm really strong in restoration and things like that. So it helps me because I'm aware of myself. So I know how I can help others when situations come. That's some good habits that you can build, just knowing yourself. And then lastly, an important habit to always have is to de-weed. You have to take the weeds out of your garden. They cannot last forever. Weeds pop up. It's inevitable. But once you realize that they're there, you have a choice to either let it stay or let it take away. And everybody's weeds in their garden are completely different, okay? For some of y'all, it's that za. It is. It's the backwoods. And I'm not saying that to be funny. I'm saying because God has had to heal your girl of a lot of stuff. And when I said that, I mean T-minus 2 months ago. We're not going to go into detail. Discretion is still something that God is fond of, so I'm not going to go into detail, but there are certain things that we need to take out of our garden. If for you that's drinking too much, that's going to take your liver out the game. Slow down, baby. Let God heal you. I'm serious. And I'm not saying this in a joking way, because our generation glorifies things that are literally killing us from the inside out. And it's sad. If for you that's gossiping too much, whew, that's me. You gotta shut that mouth. You gotta shut that mouth. Are you serious? How long has I been there? If, I don't know, if your weeds are certain friends or family, they have to go. Like, whatever it is, if it's gluttony, if it's you overeating, if it's you not taking care of yourself, if it's you indulging in sexual immorality, like, don't take any of these things lightly. Do not take any of these things lightly. And if you're wondering, like, well, maybe do I fall into any of these categories? Just read the Bible. It's in here. I promise. It is in here. And even if there's not a specific thing that you're dealing with necessarily, because this is, we're more modern than the Bible is, again, pray to God, and God's word is not going to, whatever he tells you in private is not going to contradict what is already inspired through men to have written thousands of years ago. So just keep that in mind. But you have to make sure that your garden is safe and just good for you to live in. Okay? The next thing in regards to cultivating and keeping your garden, the importance of it is just remembering that your spiritual garden serves as a marker. So if you're driving anywhere in Texas, you know that there's road signs. They get you from point A to point B, and they are very important, because if you miss one of those signs in Texas, you will end up in some small city, or you'll end up on the other side of Dallas or Houston or just something. You know they're important. Those road signs are markers. Your spiritual garden is no different. It serves as a marker. For example, with small animals and insects like rabbits and ladybugs, butterflies, all of them, a garden with good fruit serves as a place in their head. It's like, this is good for me and my people. We can eat here. Let's feast. And then they invite everybody. Lord knows. Insects and pests invite their whole family, but because they see that there's good fruit there. So, with our spiritual garden serving as a marker, just think about it. In a physical garden, you have to know where you planted your citrus versus where you planted your kale. And they have different growing times. They have different processes. And it's much easier if you would just put up signs so that you can know the difference. As Christians, these things show that we are actively imitating Christ. Our spiritual garden, that love, that self-control, that gentleness, that all of those things, it talks about this in Galatians 5, but it's a result of God's presence within us. This is very important. It serves as a marker. And so you have got to have the fruits of the Spirit, and you have got to have them deep within your spiritual garden, because it'll keep you right. Okay? It really will. Like, whenever you eat some good fruit, it's like, dang, sometimes it hit better than candy. And that's crazy. It's crazy. But it really is the best. Like, God knew what he was doing. I promise you, he did. But okay, and so I'll read Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 to 23. But the fruit of the Spirit, and in parentheses in the AMP, it says the result of his presence within us are these things. They serve as a marker. This is a result. If you have these things, if you have the fruits of the Spirit in your spiritual garden, they will be shown. If you don't, it will still show. They are markers. Whichever side of the pendulum that you swing, it still serves as a marker. It's love, it's unselfish concern for others, it's joy, it's inner peace, it's patience, not the ability to wait, because everybody has to do that, but it's how you act while waiting. It's the kindness, it's the goodness, it's the faithfulness, it's the gentleness, it's the self-control, because against those such things, there is no law. And if you're like, what you mean law? I'm not talking about popo 911 if you got warrants. Please get those handled or you will be in jail. I'm not joking. They will find you. They will find you. I'm not speaking from experience. I'm just saying. But the law, meaning if you just do some research, back in the Old Testament, laws were something that the Jews held and the Hebrews held to the highest of standards, because Jesus was not on earth yet. They didn't have a walking physical example of how to act. So those laws and the sacrifices and the atonement was what they lived by. But now Paul is saying no longer are there certain laws against things like that. These are the new things that we abide by. And so I'm actually going to read a story. It's in 1 Kings chapter 3, verses 16 through 28. Hey, it's a long story. Solomon knew how to write. I think Solomon wrote 1 and 2 Kings. He wrote 1 and 2 Chronicles. I know for a fact. I don't know if he did 1 and 2 Kings. Okay. It's starting off strong. Then two prostitutes came to the king and stood before him. The one woman said, "Oh, my lord, this woman and I live in the same house, and I gave birth to a child while she was in the house. Then on the third day after I gave birth, this woman gave birth. And we were alone. There was no one else with us in the house. Only we two were in the house." Also, pause to insert, you can look in the New Testament for this, actually throughout the whole Bible, Old Testament and New Testament and intertestamental period in between. People took witnesses to the upteenth degree. It was very serious to have a witness no matter what you were doing, because they took witnesses as they were their modern day contracts. An eyewitness was everything. So if you lied, you were going to get in trouble for that. Resuming. "And this woman's son died in the night because she lay on him." Oh, that's sad. "And she arose at midnight and took my son from beside me while your servant slept, and laid him at her breast, and laid her dead son at my breast. Wow. When I rose in the morning to nurse my child, behold, he was dead. But when I looked at him closely in the morning, behold, he was not the child that I had born." But the other woman said, "No, the living child is mine and the dead child is yours." The first said, "No, the dead child is yours and the living child is mine." So he said, she said. Thus they spoke before the king. Then the king said, "The one says, 'This is my son that is alive and your son is dead.' And the other says, 'No, but your son is dead and my son is the living one.' And the king said, 'Bring me a sword.' So a sword was brought before the king, and the king said, 'Divide the living child,'" I didn't stutter, he really said that, "'into two, and give half to one and half to the other.'" He said, "We gonna saw this. You get half the baby and you get the other half of the baby." That's good. That's not funny. It just is catching me off guard. "Then the woman whose son was alive said to the king, because her heart yearned for her son, 'Oh, my lord, give her the living child and by no means put him to death.' But the other said, 'He shall be neither mine nor yours, so divide the baby.' Then the king answered and said, 'Give the living child to the first woman and by no means put him to death. She is his mother.' And all Israel heard of the judgment that the king had rendered, and they stood in awe of the king because they perceived that the wisdom of God was in him to do justice." The reason why I brought up that story is because the woman whose child it truly was, she knew that was her child, and her cry out was how the king was able to say, "Oh, that child belongs to her." Because some newborn babies look the same to people, but that mother knew her child. It's the same way for us and the fruits of the Spirit in our spiritual garden. Those serve as markers and identifiers for us so that you can see other Christians and know by their fruits, by their actions, "Oh, that's one of my brothers and sisters in Christ." It serves as a marker, as an identifier. That's how you know, like, "Oh, like, that's gang. Like, they're cool people." That's how you could tell. And then I'll read another story. This is the Passover, Exodus chapter 12. I made that face because I don't know how much of this I'm going to read. Okay, Exodus chapter 12, verse 12. For I will pass through the land of Egypt that night, and I will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt. Yes, sorry. Both man and beast. And on all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgments. I am the Lord. The blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And no plague will befall you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. So at this time, Exodus means a mass leaving. And this is the book of Exodus. So Moses, to make a long story short, because I want you guys to be able to read the Bible for yourself. Moses was told by God that his people needed to be let go. His people are the Hebrews. They were slaves to the Egyptians. Pharaoh, which is the king of Egypt, he was not having it. So after so many signs and so many warnings and so many diligent acts from God, it was finally enough. And so God was like, tonight, this last plague is going to be me killing all the firstborns. This means of the kids, like of the children and of the cattle as well. And God was not doing no playing. And I would not even want to be there to hear the cries of the mothers and fathers and even of the animals as everyone was dying. But he said, in order for the angel of death to pass over you, in order for y'all's house to be passed over as death is coming, you need to take blood. And you need to put it over your doorpost. Why? Because it showed as a sign. It was a marker. So again, these are just, they're not stories in the Bible. I need to stop saying that. These are just two events in the Bible to really highlight that identifiers and markers are so important for us as Christians. And then I'm going to read to you Galatians chapter 5, verse 9. Acts, Romans, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians. Okay. What am I talking? I wrote down Galatians 5:9. It says a little leaven leavens the whole lump. What? I didn't mean to put that. My bad. Okay. And then my third point is being vigilant about your environment. Again, I talked about this a little bit when I spoke on the habits part, but I'm going to read Matthew chapter 13, verses 24 through 31 for this part. He put another parable, he is Jesus, before them, saying, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while his men were sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds along the wheat and went away. So when the plants came up and bore grain, then the weeds appeared also. And the servants of the master of the house came and said to him, Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have weeds? He said to them, an enemy has done this. So the servant said to him, then what do you want us to do, go and gather them? But he said, no, lest in gathering the weeds, you root up the wheat along with them as well. Let both grow together until the harvest, and at harvest time, I will tell the reapers, gather the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn. This is so important for so many reasons, because if you notice, the farmer, whenever he was told that there were weeds, he didn't freak out. Maybe he was pissed off. I'm gonna just be real with y'all. We don't know, but his first reaction was, it wasn't anger. He didn't cuss out his workers. He wasn't like, oh my gosh, like I'm gonna lose everything, like I knew I shouldn't have done this. That wasn't what he did. His response was that of a man that carries wisdom, that of a man that carries, The peach. Self-control. That's what he showed. Because the farmer was vigilant and aware, he was able to identify the enemy in his garden, and he was able to discern what step to take next. And if you want discernment, ask God for it. Read the book of James about that, because it talks about it. So that his environment was not permanently damaged, but only temporarily damaged. Also notice, like I said earlier, you cannot always dodge weeds. Like, you can set up precautions, but sometimes a weed is going to slip through. A trial is going to slip through. A negative comment is going to slip through. But you have the choice. Like, are you going to bounce back and fix it? Or are you going to succumb to whatever's happening in your spiritual garden? So as we close this episode, just remember these things. Seeds have to go through a process in order to become fruit. Just pretend this is real. This watermelon did not come onto this earth as a watermelon. It came as a seed. Same thing for that orange in the back and the apple. They did not come onto earth in their finished forms. They came here in seeds. That's how they started. So remember that seeds have to go through a process in order to become fruit. And when something goes awry, the fruit forfeits and or is deformed. So really pay attention to yourself as you're going through this process with God, and be diligent and careful and discerning, because if anything goes crazy, it can definitely taint the seeds that are inside of you. Also, don't rush this process. You see, this took me 30 minutes just to talk about. To actually live this once I take off the headphones and turn off the lights is a completely different thing. So seriously, take it step by step. Practice that intimacy with God and building habits with him. That's the most important. Not saying, oh yeah, I got the fruits of the spirit. Baby, the proof is in the pudding. So if you're saying one thing and doing another, again, I feel like we learned in grade school, your actions have to match up with your words. So let God do a good work in you. That's biblical as well. It's going to take time. And I need y'all to understand this, because we are governed by time. God is not. So we cannot force God to be like, God, you need to put all the fruits in the spirit of the spirit in me tonight. It doesn't work that way. We are governed by time. God is not. We need alarm clocks to wake up and to do stuff. We have to be governed by the sun and the moon. God does not. So we're on two different playing fields. So we have to do things according to his time. Whether we want to or not, it's beneficial for us anyway. So just start now. The sooner, the better with all things. No, actually, that's not true. Not with all things, but with... use your discretion. Okay, and use discernment for that statement. Be patient and be gentle with yourself as you navigate your garden. Gentleness is back there on the apple, and then patience is on this orange. These things aren't just for other people, they're for ourselves as well. You have to take care of yourself so that you can also take care of others. Because if you're not taking care of yourself, it shows whenever you talk to others. I promise you, whether you're aware of it or not. The environment of a seed either propels it or rejects it and chokes it out. Fruit requires an environment that is worthy of its seed. And then also, just take everything with a grain of salt. If I mention like straight Bible, like the Bible verses, don't take those with a grain of salt. But just take my advice with a grain of salt, because what I speak is not the concrete word of God. It's just my analysis of the word of God. So never place what I say over the word of God. Don't do that. But for like YouTube recommendations and things like that, again, take this part with a grain of salt, because all these men and women that I'm going to name, they are imperfect people as well. But Jackie Hill Perry, The Smart Christian Channel, Alan Parr, Bodhi Bokum, Long for Truth 1, Cross Examined. For artists, I love old school Kirk Franklin. Emphasis on the old school, like when he did God's Property, when he did Kirk Franklin and the Family. I loved that. I love John P. Key, the Mississippi, DFW, and Alabama Mass Choirs, the Georgia Mass Choir too, Marvin Sapp, Smokey Norful, Elevation Worship, their YouTube channel, Tribal or Tribal, Jeremy Riddle, Worship Initiative. I love Shane and Shane. I love them so much. Hillsong Worship / Hillsong United, Souvenirs Worship, etc. For pastors, I recommend just some local ones. It's really great to watch pastors online, but with Hebrews 10:25, to really not forsake church and meeting up with others, I recommend that you find a pastor in your local community that you can really listen to and grow with, that's actually seeking the Bible and not seeking to modernize everything. But I like Mike Ringer as a pastor, and I love Jerry Flowers as a pastor. But yeah, so for this episode, to close it out, a random fact about me is one tattoo right here. It says Isaiah 65:20a. I got it for someone really near and dear to me that passed away. This verse just talks about how no longer shall old men die in their old age, no longer shall infants die in their infancy, because there will be a day when, well, at the time, Jesus wasn't physically on earth, but Isaiah was talking about a day when Jesus will walk the earth and Jesus will overcome death. And a lot of times I'm ready for that day. Other times I'm like, wait a minute, Jesus, take your time. Take your time. Let me get a husband first and then you can come. I'm just being real with y'all. Let's not lie. But yeah, so for my outro, again, I talked about this in the trailer, but my outros are always just going to be a culmination of different endings of letters that were written in the New Testament. So I thank you, God, for my brothers and sisters in Christ. I thank you for their love and their hope. And I pray that they would be turned toward the gospel. I pray that you fill them with knowledge of your will and just strengthen them with the power as they give thanks.